Whenever we are longing for some good news, so oftentimes, without even thinking about it, we begin to look up. It's like the family that gathers out of great excitement because the youngest amongst them is starting to pull up, ready to take her very first steps. That up is always better. That we climb mountains, we build skyscrapers, we travel further up into outer space. That we always want to be taller. We want higher grades. We want to reach the apex of our career. That we even talk this way in the church. That God is up there in the heavens. That Moses climbed up Mount Sinai in order to speak with God. That Jesus was transfigured, turning into this white light, surrounded by Elijah and Moses, standing up there on a mountain. We must remember, though, that Zacchaeus climbed up the sycamore tree in order to see Jesus. But when Jesus came along, he looked up and saw Zacchaeus and said, "Come down. Today, I am coming to your house." That apparently there is something good about stepping down. That so often we say that as a sign of defeat, that I'm going to step down. But when we step down, so many times we discover that we are standing in the midst of the grace of God. The first two people to step down, perhaps, were Abraham and Sarah because they were called by God. That in the world in which Abraham and Sarah lived, everything revolved around your tribe, the people closest to you. That your tribe was your extended family. They were the group that you traveled with as nomads from place to place. That they were the people you protected and the people that protected you. That everybody else that you came in contact with along the way, the strangers that you encountered, were suspicious at best and enemies at worst. And it led to constant fighting. But Abraham and Sarah felt called to something different. They were not called to ascend above every other tribe. Instead, they were called to benefit others, to see with different eyes, to notice how we are all connected to one another. As God said to them, "All the nations of the earth shall gain blessing through your offspring." And maybe it helps us understand a little bit more of what Psalm 118 is saying to us, which is such a cornerstone passage for the meaning of Palm Sunday, where we stand today. As it says, "The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone." That why are we singing and shouting hallelujah if this cornerstone has been rejected? That only makes sense if there is something good about stepping down. That when we look at the scene of Palm Sunday, that people are waving palm branches in the air, crowds are shouting out hallelujah, that things are looking up. But then if we look closely, there are these two disciples that steal away before the parade ever happens. That they're told to go down into town and to fetch a donkey. Now, this kind of job is usually given to the unpaid intern or, you know, the graduate assistant. Those are the ones that do the donkey fetching, those small, menial tasks that don't seem like they amount to very much. But they are like the small boy who brought his tiny lunch to Jesus that was used to feed the 5,000. It's like that woman who came with the alabaster jar of ointment and despite the criticism around her, broke it open and anointed Jesus' head. It's like the widow who came bearing just two small coins out of her great devotion to God. That these two disciples stole away to fetch a donkey to make the parade possible. That perhaps in this small moment, we hear the loudest, Hosanna in the highest for this day. It's like the small mustard seed that grows into the large tree that is the kingdom of God. And when we turn to the pages of the second chapter of Paul's letter to the Philippians, we find this early hymn of the church where we can almost imagine the voices of that grand congregation singing, "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." That Jesus stepped down in order to love and embrace this world. Humility, though, is a tricky thing. Too often we take it into our hands and we use it to somehow discount ourselves. But humility is simply a willingness to fetch a donkey. As Philip Gully reminds us, it's not me thinking less of myself, it's thinking of myself less. It's a willingness to serve, to sacrifice. But it is an unwillingness to be driven by praise or criticism. Because humility is rooted in something much bigger. It is found in the love of God, which has stepped down and come to our house to embrace each of us. Chip Rotolo was a student at the University of North Carolina, and one summer he chose to get away from the classroom and to travel all the way to Kampala, Uganda, where he served alongside Sheila and Jade Acker, who are CBF field personnel, our missionaries, that have formed and organized and lead a school for refugees. Incidentally, this particular school for refugees in Uganda has been, in the recent weeks, temporarily closed due to concerns around the coronavirus, reminding us of how connected we are to people around the world. Well, after coming home that summer from spending time teaching at this school for refugees in Uganda, Chip, looking back on his experience, says, I took on the role of teacher, but there was no doubt I was a student all summer long. When I first got to Kampala, he says, so much was thrown at me. Everything was new, from being out in the city to attending worship services. There were things I couldn't understand, things that were frustrating because I couldn't process them. It was just really, really powerful. So now I'm back, and it's really hard to do anything without seeing all of the people's faces, capabilities, hopes, and dreams. That we agree to teach, and we become the student. That we serve the poor and the vulnerable, and they enrich our lives. That we support the grieving, and somehow we are healed. That we celebrate the goodness of others, and we discover what is most good about this life, that the teacher becomes the student. That humility is quite powerful. It has a way of opening us up to the Spirit of God at work in this world, that it opens us up to see how connected we are to everyone. It reminds us we are not so isolated or alone. And it points out how even the small things that we do have great meaning in this life and profoundly affect the world around us. I find it hard to imagine all that Abraham Lincoln was facing, trying to navigate the perils of civil war while also putting all of his energy into passing the Emancipation Proclamation. That we might imagine a leader with all the confidence in the world, all the answers to all the questions, like an actor just following the script in front of him. But none of us have the luxury of following a script in front of us. The historian Mark Knoll says that so many religious leaders assume that they know the will of God. That every decision they make is marked by some divine imperative. But Lincoln stood in a very different place. He knew a very different kind of strength. It is said that a minister once remarked to Lincoln, "I sure hope that the Lord is on our side." To which Lincoln quickly responded, "I hope that we are on the Lord's side." There is such strength and resolve and endurance found in humility, because it is something bigger than ourselves, bigger than our circumstances, that it leads us yet again to all the ways of Jesus that take us through all the events of Holy Week and eventually to the joy of Easter morning, that it leads us to the light of the world, who has come down to our house to lead us through all darkness. Amen.